Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, this last petition reminds us that the Christian life is a battle and it is always waged on two fronts. There are temptations that lurk within us, and there is evil that is all around us.
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. Today we continue our series on the Lord's Prayer called Six Things to Ask of God. And we come to the phrase in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And Colin, when I think about that phrase, the very first thing that pops into my mind is, God, keep me from sin. But is there more to it than just that?
Yes, Steve, I think that's the point of what our Lord Jesus says here. Not only lead us not into temptation, but also deliver us from evil. I mean, think about the evil that surrounds us in the world. Ever since the first sin of Adam and of Eve, we've had this knowledge of evil. And you see it in violence, you see it in war, you see it in famine, you see it in death surrounding us on all sides. We live in a world that is scourged with great evil. And when we pray, Jesus is teaching us not only to be praying for ourselves, but to be praying for this world in which we live. That's why earlier we were looking at the prayer, your kingdom come. We want to see God's grace, God's mercy in a broken world. And we're going to look a little bit at what that looks like for us to pray, for you to pray, not only that God will guard you and keep you from sin, but also that in his mercy and in his grace, there may be deliverance from some of the worst evils that surround us in this world.
Well, that's what we're taking a look at today, God's deliverance. Let's begin our message. Here is Pastor Colin.
We've been seeing together that Jesus teaches us that there are six things that we should ask of God. And this is really an outline, a template for our prayers. The six petitions of the Lord's Prayer, like pegs on which, as it were, you can hang or arrange all of your own prayers. We want first that God's name should be honored. We saw that God's answer to a world that despises his name is a people who know his name. We want that God's kingdom should come, secondly. The day will come when Christ returns in glory, and then the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he will reign forever and forever. Third, we want God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We saw that God has a will that is secret, a will that is discerned, and a will that has been revealed. And so when we pray this third petition of the Lord's Prayer, we are asking for faith in what God has kept secret, for wisdom in what we must discern, and for obedience in regards to what God has revealed. And then when we have asked these three things that relate to God and his glory, Jesus teaches us that we are also to come and ask for the things that we need. What do we need in this world? Well, it boils down to three things. First, we need to be sustained. Give us this day our daily bread. That is food, clothing, work, shelter, all that we need for sustaining life in this world. And not only for us, but for others who may have much less than we do. Give us this day our daily bread. And then we need to be forgiven as we need to forgive. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. God has called us to love him with all of our hearts and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We haven't done that. Therefore, we have debts because we have fallen short in what we owe, and we have debtors because others have fallen short in what they owe. And so we need to be forgiven, and we need to forgive. And that then brings us to the last, the sixth of these petitions in the Lord's Prayer that we're looking at today. But someone might be asking, hey, what about the ending? You know, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, if you look at the Bible in Matthew chapter 6 in front of you, you will notice that these words are in fact not there. If you have a copy of the Church Bible and many other Bibles, you may see that there is a footnote that says, some manuscripts add, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Most likely these words were added at some point in history by some scribe copying out the text of the Gospel of Matthew as a kind of response to the words that our Lord has taught us to pray. And for sure they are wonderful words that we can use in our prayer, but the words that Jesus taught are the six petitions that we have looked at and the last that we are looking at today. There are six things that Jesus told us to ask of God in prayer. And the last of them is Matthew 6 in verse 13, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, this last petition reminds us that the Christian life is a battle and it is always waged on two fronts. There are temptations that lurk within us, and there is evil that is all around us. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 7 and verse 5 that when he came to Macedonia, he said, "Our bodies had no rest and we were afflicted at every turn." And notice why, two reasons. When he looked around him, what did he see? Fightings without, conflict around him everywhere. When he looked inside, what did he see? Fears within. You see, these are the two fronts on which the battle is always to be fought. If we are to honor God's name, if we are to advance his kingdom, if we are to do his will, we need not only to be sustained and forgiven, we need to be delivered. And we need to be delivered in two spheres, the evil that lurks within us and the evil that is all around us. And today I want us to focus on three things. First, why we need this prayer. Second, what we're asking in this prayer. And thirdly, and most important, how God wonderfully answers this prayer. Now, first then, why we need this prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, evil, of course, is introduced to us right at the beginning of the Bible story. God had made everything good. The man and the woman had been placed in a garden that was just full of good things. But in the garden, there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The man and the woman already had the knowledge of good. It was all around them. So if they were to eat of this tree, they would only gain one thing, and that would be that they would add the knowledge of evil to the knowledge of good that they already had. And God said, "Do not eat of this tree." As if God were to say, "Now you already know good. It's all around you. It's wonderful and you are richly blessed, but there is another reality that's outside of your present experience. It's evil. It's destructive in its power. I don't want you ever to know it. So do not eat of the fruit of this tree. You don't want to get the knowledge of evil." But you know that they decided that they wanted the knowledge of evil and they ate of this tree and they got it and we have all lived with it ever since. So we can rightly define evil as the destructive power that has intruded into God's universe, and evil includes all that has come into the world through the fall as a result of the entrance of sin into the world, all that has come in that was not there before. Now, evil comes in many forms. And as the first book of the Bible tells us how it entered into God's world and into the human race, the last book of the Bible describes very vividly the forms in which it manifests itself. In the book of Revelation, John saw a vision of four horses, each one with a rider. They're often referred to as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And the first was a white horse, Revelation 6:2. Its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. Now, I know that some people think that this is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you look carefully in Revelation in chapter 6, you will see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is opening these seals. And what is revealed seems very clearly to be the destructive power of evil as it stalks history in its various forms. And the first of these forms, of course, is war, going out to conquer. You look at the history of the world, it's all about empires rising, one group of people trying to rule another with all the pain and the destruction that that brings. And this is evil. Then there was a second horse that was bright red. Its rider, verse 4, was permitted to take peace from the earth so that the people should slay one another, and he was given a great sword. So the first horse represents the abuse of power by the state, rising up in empires to rule over others. The second horse represents the breakdown of the community. Violence erupts. People are attacking and killing each other. And this too is evil. Then there was a black horse, verse 5. Its rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And then John heard a voice saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." So here clearly we have famine conditions, scarcity of food. Just a little amount of wheat, a quart, is going to cost a denarius, which was a full day's wages for a working person in that time. And so clearly what is being described here is the difficulty of getting just the most basic necessities to sustain life. And yet at the same time, while the many are struggling to get the basic necessities of life, evidently there are some luxuries enjoyed by the few, oil and wine, that somehow are remarkably preserved, untouched. And this too is evil. And then fourthly, there was a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and, notice this, with pestilence, that means disease, and by wild beasts of the earth. So all of these destructive forces, all of these manifestations of evil, the four horsemen, they all bring death. They bring it in different ways, by war, by conflict, by famine, by disease. Do you see what we're being told? This evil that entered into the world back in the Garden of Eden in the first book of the Bible, the last book of the Bible is telling us it goes everywhere. It has affected every part of God's universe. It has infected the political, the social, the judicial, the economic, the ecological, and even the biological. And brothers and sisters, we look at our news bulletins any day in life, and what do you find? You find that they are dominated by stories that represent some way in which the evil that has intruded into God's good world is manifesting itself in our time. It's everywhere. And that is why we desperately need to pray, "Lord, deliver us from evil." It really is all around us. And not only is it all around us, but as we saw a few moments ago, it's inside of us as well. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Why do we need to pray, "Lead us not into temptation"? Why is anyone tempted? Why does sin have landing place in your life and in mine? And the answer to that, James tells us very clearly, is that each person, all of us, we're all tempted when we are lured and enticed by our own evil desire. The root of it's in us. So Christians can't go out and sort of look down, as it were, from a position of superiority on the rest of the world. No, we know that sin is a fountain within us, and it bubbles up, throws up temptations with which throughout our lives, in one way or another, we have to contend. Dr. Jim Packer has a marvelous picture. I read this years ago, and I've never forgotten it, so maybe it'll stick with you in a way that will be helpful. He tees it up this way. He says, "Can you see your own life in terms of being threatened and endangered by evil of all sorts so that you need God's deliverance every moment of every day? You see your life like that?" And then he has this picture. "You are like a person wandering blindfolded with your ears plugged on a busy city street with the traffic coming in both directions." Can you picture that? Can you picture a busy city street? I always think, when I think of that image that's in my mind about the city, I grew up in Edinburgh, Scotland. I see Princes Street, the main street. Here's me standing there, and I'm blindfolded, and I've got these earplugs in, and there's traffic coming in both directions. Now, says Packer, that's a picture of your life. That's why you need this prayer. Because you are in danger every moment because of what is within you and because of what is around you, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called God's Deliverance, part of our study of the Lord's Prayer. Taking a look today at that part of the Lord's Prayer that says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We've been looking at why we need this prayer, and when we get back to the message in just a moment, we're going to look at what we actually ask in this prayer, so I hope you make it a point to stay with us. Hey, if you ever miss part of a program or you miss one in its entirety, you want to go back and listen to what you did miss, you can always come to our website and you can listen online. You can stream the program or download an MP3. You can also listen on the go through the Unlocking the Bible app. And you can find the links for all of that when you come to our website. It's unlockingthebible.org. That's unlockingthebible.org. All right, if you have just joined us, we are in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, where we find the Lord's Prayer. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Seeing why we need this prayer, secondly, let's be clear about what we are asking in this prayer. What are we asking when we say to God, lead us not into temptation? Well, remember that Jesus used the words into temptation on another occasion in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, watch and pray so that you do not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, everybody is tempted. Jesus was tempted, yet without sin. And Jesus does not say, watch and pray so that you're not tempted. What he says is, watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. What does that mean? Well, it means very clearly, so that temptation does not overwhelm you. And that is what Jesus teaches us to ask in the Lord's Prayer. Father, don't let me get to a place where the power of temptation overwhelms me. Guard me so that I will watch and pray. And that's a common theme of the Bible. Paul says to Timothy, now watch your life. To the elders at Ephesus, watch yourselves. Watch and pray, and Christ will give you the strength that you need to prevail in your battle against temptation. And what exactly are we asking when we say deliver us from evil? Well, that word deliver is very clear. When we say, Lord, deliver us from evil, we're not saying, hey, we can do this. We're not even saying, Lord, we can do it, but we need a bit of help. When we pray, deliver us from evil, we are saying to God, the power of evil is greater than us, but it is not greater than you, and we need you to deliver us. The picture again may be helpful. Picture a hostage. And he is tied to the chair, and he's blindfolded, and he's in a prison, locked doors, can't move, can't get out. The only hope for him is that he will be delivered. What does that mean? That someone will storm the building, come in from outside, set him free, and take him out. Now, when we see war, injustice, famine, disease, things that are bigger than we are, immense in their power. Jesus tells us to pray, deliver us from evil. Father, come and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That's what we're asking. Now, will this prayer be answered? The answer to that question is yes, it will. Thank God. And your guarantee that this prayer will be answered is that Jesus Christ himself is the one who tells you that this is how you must pray. And that gets us to the most important thing here today, which is how God answers this prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God answers this prayer by his grace. And grace is that which is not deserved, but freely given. And what I want you to see today is that God's grace operates in many wonderful ways. I want to identify for you four ways in which God's grace operates, four ways in which God answers this last petition of the Lord's Prayer. The first of them, this is very important, is common grace. When we pray, deliver us from evil, God answers this prayer through common grace. You say, well, now what is that? Common grace is God's kindness to all people, including those who do not believe in him, those who have no place for him in their lives, and even those who outright defy him. Now, I wonder if you've ever thought about this. The Bible makes it very clear that by nature, we are all dead in trespasses and sins. Have you ever wondered then, why is it that if we're all dead in trespasses and sins, why is it that so many unbelieving people seem able to live peaceful, happy, and very productive lives? Why is it that many who have no place for God in their lives whatsoever are often very patient, very kind, seem to have good family relationships, good marriages, be considerate, be generous, and very loving? Why is that? And the answer to that is common grace.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called God's Deliverance. And we have to pause the message right there, but we'll continue next time as we've been looking at why we need this prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Also looking at what we ask in this prayer. And next time we're going to see how God answers that prayer. So I hope you will listen. If you can't be listening on the radio, you don't have to miss it. You can always come to our website, and you can listen to each and every broadcast there. The website address is unlockingthebible.org. That's unlockingthebible.org. Well, Unlocking the Bible is a listener-supported program. We're able to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on this station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a book called Rejoice and Tremble. It's written by Michael Reeves, and Colin, in this book, Michael talks about the surprising good news of the fear of the Lord. Let's begin with a definition here. What is the fear of the Lord?
Well, the way that I define the fear of the Lord is simply this, that it is so to love him that his frown would be your greatest dread and his smile would be your greatest delight. That's why it really is good news. It's a very wonderful thing. And everywhere that the scripture refers to the fear of the Lord, it always speaks about the blessing that it brings. I mean, the fear of the Lord, we read in Proverbs, is a fountain of life. Blessed is the person who fears the Lord always. The fear of the Lord will keep you from sinning. That's Exodus chapter 20 and verse 20. That's very powerful. Yeah. I want help to keep me from sinning. And I'm told here that the fear of the Lord will keep me from sinning. So I want more of the fear of the Lord. It really is a good gift. And that's why I'm really excited about us sharing this book. Michael Reeves has written a wonderful book on the blessing of the fear of the Lord. I just found it so rich to read in my own life. And I think that you will find this too, that there will be a fresh discovery of something that brings vitality, joy, to your own walk with the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not something for you to run away from. It's actually what it looks like for a person really to love the sovereign God who made us and who we're going to enjoy forever and ever in heaven.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book, Rejoice and Tremble, as you give a gift of any amount this month. You can give when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED or come to our website, unlockingthebible.org. Again, our phone number is 1-866-865-6253, and the website is unlockingthebible.org. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. Jesus taught us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." How will this prayer be answered? Find out on the next Unlocking the Bible.